You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
From the Eco Nutrition Studios in the Southwest Side at 304, it is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Also heard on 102.3 FM here in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Andrew on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from the back porch on the Southwest Side. Good show coming up for you. Tim Lester, Seth Wallace, many others. A parade of Hawkeye coaches and dignitaries meeting the media earlier on today. We will talk about first impressions, get your thoughts about it as well. Iowa State basketball with a big one tonight down in Austin, Texas, as they will take on the Texas Longhorns in a, hey, what's new, a key Big 12 men's basketball tilt. We'll discuss that. We will talk high school wrestling with you. Tony Hager from IAWrestle.com will join us. Look back on the girls' state championships, the state duels, and look ahead to the districts coming up for 3A, 2A, and 1A here this weekend on Saturday. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. Always enjoy interacting with our listeners out there. Again, that is 319-366-1600. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, say hi to Andrew, you can do that at 319-366-1600 as well. And Mark, a pleasant good afternoon on this Tuesday to you.
Hey, you as well, Scott. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. And coming to you today with new internet service. Thanks, guys. You know who you are. I'm good and ready to go, Scott.
You are ready to go. And A-OK so far, correct?
It's perfect.
Oh, gosh, you said it. Andrew, mark that down. 3:06, Tuesday, February 6th. Mark just said everything's perfect.
Yep.
And you know what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The gremlins are going to come.
Either on your end or our end.
Yep.
One of those ends. It will be coming. How you doing, Andrew? Enjoying the weather?
Yeah, it was real nice driving around earlier today, picking up stuff for downtown with Zuna 2.9.
It is that time, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Always that kind of coincides with the with girls' state tournament basketball. So
yeah. Yeah, it does a little bit.
A couple of big things. Mm-hmm. And we are 3 weeks away from the girls' state tournament yesterday, so plan your weather accordingly at that time. Although that is a myth that has been debunked over the years. So we'll get to that as we get closer to it. 319-366-1600. The brand new offensive coordinator, Mark, for the Iowa football team, Tim Lester, met the media. Seth Wallace was also there, the brand new associate head coach for the Iowa football team. Kirk Ferentz was there. Beth Getz had a cameo appearance as well. Pretty much everybody except W Guy had an appearance today down in Iowa City.
Yeah, it was interesting to listen to in my mind, and a little bit odd, and no knock to the University of Iowa by any means, but Iowa has its first associate head coach ever, and he kind of took a back seat to Tim Lester and the offensive coordinator, and I get it for good reason. Kirk Ferentz, speaking about Seth Wallace, made it sound like, you know, a heartbeat away type of thing. You know, if I'm away for any reason, then Seth is going to make the calls. And as far as Wallace goes, it's a recognition of a time well spent in the Iowa program, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, working with Phil Parker and others. But I thought he had some good comments. But Tim Lester was the focus, the former Western Michigan coach. And I liked him, Scott. I thought he was a very likable guy. First impressions are everything in my mind. The proof will be in the pudding come some September or late October, whenever the season opener is. But the thing I took away, and Kirk Ferentz said he's quote-unquote open to anything right now. Oh, my God. We're not going to have the air raid or anything. But Lester, speaking about his experiences as a assistant coach and a head coach and being with the Packers last year, and he said he has, you know, a big playbook. And you can't run something if you don't have personnel to do it. And he has been on campus for a short period of time, has not even met some of the players. Once he does and he evaluates them and he can put together a playbook, a lot of emphasis on the RPO, run pass option, which Lester ran a lot of. But once again, if you don't have the players to run that type of offense, you know, you'd be foolish to. So first impressions were good, Scott.
I would agree with you. First impressions, I think it was a home run for Tim Lester here today. What are your thoughts? 319-366-1600. And it's easy to say that, but I will – you can tell that Tim Lester was a head coach. He's polished up there. He knows all the right things to say. He knows how to turn a phrase, if you will. He did that today. You know, he let us in on some things. He sounds like he is going to be the first Iowa offensive coordinator in a while that will be up in the booth. He will not be on the sideline. I believe Greg Davis, Ken O'Keefe, and Brian Ferentz were all sideline guys. Sounds like he is going to be upstairs. That's the first change. Another thing that really stood out to me that Tim Lester talked about today was adjustments. And that is something that, if indeed it comes to fruition, and keep that in mind, that we have not seen, I think, in Iowa City for a while. There's a game plan. You stick to the game plan. If the game plan doesn't work, you double down on said game plan. He said he's thrown the ball 70 times in a game. He's run the ball 70 times in a game. And he is going to make changes on the fly. Whether that is going to the short pass, whether that is taking a passing game plan and in mid-flight changing it to a run game plan, that sounds like what he is going to do. He did make it very clear it's going to be a physical offense. It is going to be an offense that is going to run the football. So if you're thinking that Sky Moore and others that he had at Western Michigan are coming down the line, not exactly the case. And you have to work with the cards you have dealt to you. And like you said, he has not met most of the personnel yet. He's been on only a few days down in Iowa City. That's going to take care of itself in due time. But I think he said all the right things today, Mark. And I agree with you. And so far, anyway, it's the naysayers are still out there. The naysayers will always be out there. But let this guy call a few games first before you make up your mind.
I agree. And as you alluded to, Lester said we have to run the football. We, meaning Iowa. And he has several different playbooks from his experiences, small college, Elmhurst, Syracuse, Purdue, Western Michigan, what have you. But the question is, who and what do we have? And that's where it comes in. Lester learning about the players. He said he doesn't even know not only who some of the players are, but where they're from and what they're all about. So that's going to be a big piece of it. He's a fan of spreading the ball around when he was asked about the wide receiver position. And back to Kirk Ferentz, I believe Kirk Ferentz, head coach, said there's a list originally of about 10 to 12 candidates, and he trimmed that to four that were extremely very, very good fit, I should say. Trimmed it down to four and landed on Lester.
wanted to make sure he had the right guy. And also, there is still a position coach opening in Iowa City. The wide receiver coach, that is open at the moment. Said should have that taken care of within the next couple of weeks. That was the timeline that Kirk threw out there here today. Couple of notes on the text line. If you'd like to get in touch with us about Tim Lester, love to hear from you. Or Seth Wallace, 319-366-1600. Our friend David in Hudson saying, sounds good, but talk can be cheap. Time will tell for Tim and more especially Kirk. That is, I still believe, the $64,000 question to this point is how much influence is Kirk Ferentz going to have? Not so much on the game plan itself going into a Saturday, but during the game on a Saturday. That has been a point that's been a bugaboo for people out there. Ralph in Riverside, let's remember the floodgates open in the transfer portal come springtime. He can get some guys still. Very true. Very true. And do not be surprised if there are some folks leaving. Seth Wallace, I know I can't remember who asked him the question, Mark, but someone asked him about a very crowded linebacker room.
Yeah.
And he didn't come out and say that, oh, you know, in this day and age, there could be some movement there. Because Iowa does have Jay Higgins coming back. Nick Jackson will be coming back. Kyler Fisher is also going to be coming back to that room. And you bring in three really, really talented true freshmen coming in. Didn't say that anyone is leaving specifically, but just said, you know, you take what you can get in this day and age in college football because you don't know who's going to be there from spring to fall or fall to spring. And I agree with him. I think that's a very good way to take a look at it. 21. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. He called it an inconvenience situation more than anything because of the return of those linebackers. And of course, some of those guys could enter the transfer portal, meaning the backups. And Ralph is right. The transfer portal doors go both ways. So, yeah, Iowa could gain some players and may lose some and probably will lose some this coming spring. And David in Hudson is quite right. The proof will be in the product on the field. I don't think there's any, you know, we don't have any illusions about that. But compare that to what Brian Ferentz said last year. Going into the season, we're going to do the same things, only better.
Yeah.
Compare that to what Lester had to say today.
Yeah, very different. Very different. I think people buying in a lot more than that particular statement from a year ago. 2170 on the text line. Why is Marvin McNutt not the wide receivers coach? Heard him say he would want it. I have no idea who they're talking to as far as a wide receiver coaching position. Maybe they are talking to Marvin McNutt. Maybe they aren't. Marvin has coaching experience, a lot of indoor coaching experience. That can translate to the outdoor college game. He played the college game, had a cup of coffee in the National Football League. Certainly he is a guy. Maybe that his name is being bantered about. I don't know at this present time. 319-366-1600 here at 318 after the Tim Lester and Seth Wallace et al. News conference from earlier on today. By the way, Spencer on Sports will have audio from said news conference from 4 until 6 coming up a little bit later on as you will hear some of the quotes from Tim Lester and Seth Wallace as well. And Seth looked a little nervous at the start of his remarks today, but he got more relaxed as it went on. But hey, this isn't the easiest thing to do, and people give him a little bit of a break up there. Okay.
Yeah, he looked a little uncomfortable, but you know, wouldn't you be?
Yes.
First associate head coach in Iowa football history, and to your left is the man you're the associate to, and that's pretty heady stuff.
It is.
Wallace seems like a guy who just wants to go to work, put in a good day's work, turn the page, and wake up tomorrow and do the same thing.
Son of a coach. Certainly. Dad coached at Grinnell College. 71-48, Kevin Casper. They want Kevin Casper for the wide receiver coach. Perhaps because that could open the door for Kevin Casper's son to come to Iowa City. He was recruited by Iowa, did not end up going to Iowa City. Not sure he's even in the transfer portal. I haven't really checked that out as of late, but you never know. You never know. So there you go. Football in the early part of February that has not anything to do with the Super Bowl. By the way, coming from the Super Bowl today, usual questions as far as the media on media day is concerned. First of all, Travis Kelce saying he believes his brother Jason is going to play next year, another season in the National Football League. We had all kinds of questions ranging from SpongeBob impressions today to Patrick Mahomes being asked about Caitlin Clark's basketball prowess today. So you get it all at the Super Bowl, Mark.
Apparently so. I never had the privilege of covering one, and I have to say I don't miss it, especially, you know, in recent years. Several years ago would have been a whole lot better, but it's just a circus now, and that, to me, not a lot of fun.
Well, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, non-sports entities sending reporters out to media days for the Super Bowl just to get attention to themselves for questions that are a little bit not dealing with football. Let's just say that. 319-366-1600, 321 here on a Tuesday edition of the program. We got college basketball coming up tonight for you at 6 o'clock, right after Spencer on Sports, who takes you from 4 until 6. It'll be the pregame show for a big one tonight in the Big 12. Iowa State goes to Austin to take on the Texas Longhorns. Longhorns trying to get back to the 500 mark in the Big 12. They are 15-7 overall, 4-5 in the Big 12, in desperate need of all the quad one wins that they can put together. While Iowa State, rated number 14 this week, 5-3, and with the win on the road, can tie for second in the Big 12. 16-5 overall, and 5-3 in the Big 12. About a pick'em game, really, Mark. If you take a look at it, you get three for being the home team. Texas is a 2.5-point favorite in this particular ball game coming up this evening, and should be an interesting one, that's for sure.
I think so, too. I don't know what we're going to get from Texas. Has played some really good basketball and some not-so-good basketball. Iowa State, one of four teams with three losses in the league after Kansas State beat Kansas in overtime. That was an intentional clearing of my throat after I said Kansas would have their hands full in Manhattan.
Good call. That was a fun game. That was a heck of an atmosphere in the octagon of doom of Bramlage Coliseum in the Little Apple, Manhattan. A couple things stood out. Number one, Kansas State really had to have that game to keep alive NCAA dreams. And number two, at the end of the game, did you notice that one of the assistant coaches for K-State going to the students and telling them to stay in their seats? Did you notice that, Mark?
I did. And there was a pretty healthy ring of security discouraging the students from going onto the court.
And it worked. They did not go on said court. So I know Jerome Tang said before that he doesn't really want the court storming because he wants his fan base to expect to win these games like they did last night against the Kansases and the Iowa States and just whatever, the Houstons, insert Big 12 school in this particular form. And he got that last night. We're going to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Tony Hager is going to join us as well coming up in just a little bit. Did want to pass this along. Did you see that the Big 12 today, Mark, with a little bit of news as far as the Scott Drew ejection from Saturday is concerned? Did you happen to take a look at that?
Dang on my scoreboard.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I don't want to take it away from your scoreboard.
No, that's okay. We can talk about that. The Baylor athletic director, Mac Rhodes, fined $25,000 for his comments after the Baylor-Iowa State game, in which Rhodes said we really need better officiating in this league. And that probably had as much, if not everything, to do with Scott Drew being tossed, one of the, more mild-mannered coaches in the country, right?
Right. Now, of the two, the first one was very much warranted for Scott Drew. Very much warranted. I mean, yeah. He was berating the officials. He should have got it. Second one was still, that was paper thin. Paper thin. Bench decorum, though, is one of the sticking points for the Big 12 office. They allegedly sent out in mid-January a memo to Big 12 officials saying that bench decorum has become a pressing issue and must be addressed. Unquote. Situations where head coaches are clearly on the court, head coaches are playing defense on players near the sideline, assistant coaches that are standing during every play, and comments from players sitting on the bench directed toward their opponents must be addressed and penalized. And crews who do not handle these situations will be penalized. There you go. But man alive, Scott Drew was not on the court.
More than that, the official that called the second technical has a reputation of being a quote-unquote letter of the law type official. And I suppose after he read this memo and he paid a little more attention to decorum on the sidelines, and I don't have a problem with it. If you don't, the box is there for a reason, is it not?
Get everybody off the court then.
Or remove the box.
Well, if you remove the box, you're going to have chaos.
Well, we don't want the seatbelt rule in college basketball either, do we?
We do not. We do not. We don't need that. It's got to be uniform across college basketball if you're going to do this. Not only men's college basketball, but yes, Kim Mulkey, women's college basketball as well. LSU plays 6-on-5. For about 85% of the time. And like I said yesterday, there have been instances where officials and players have ran into coaches while they were on the court and nothing had happened. And this has got to be taken care of. If you're going to say stay in the coaching box, then let's do this. Let's give technicals and stay in the coaching box right there. Should be interesting tonight as Tyrese Hunter, one more time, will meet up with his former mates, the Iowa State Cyclones. Again, that is a 7 o'clock tip-off. We've got it here on 1600 ESPN as well as our FM frequencies for you because that game is, if you are interested in television, that is a Longhorn Network game. So I know that not everyone has the Longhorn Network, so we are your place to hear the game right here on 1600 ESPN. We're going to talk some wrestling coming up. A little bit of baseball notes before 4 o'clock today as well. But, Mark, I already stole one of your points from your Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. I don't want to steal anymore. So I'm going to throw it to you. And, of course, our scoreboard is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, open at 4 o'clock. They're online at emilshideaway.com. Some of their great, great menu items, including the Cuban, the Thai peanut butter burger, or the Hawkeye lean roast beef with mushrooms and peppers on sourdough with Thousand Island dressing. It is tremendous. So check it out. Emil's Hideaway, right across from the Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot. What do we got?
Yeah, in baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers and left-handed pitcher Clayton Kershaw apparently reaching an agreement on a one-year deal that will bring Kershaw back for his 17th season. He is coming off shoulder surgery. The coaches have come out with their national wrestling poll for the week. Penn State, of course, is number one. Oklahoma State, the only undefeated other undefeated squad in the country, is number two. Iowa fell to three after losing to Michigan. The rest of the top five includes number four, Iowa State, and number five, Nebraska. Finally, top five players Victor Hovland and Xander Schauffele have withdrawn from this week's Waste Management Phoenix Open to rest for next week's Genesis Invitational.
Which is the next spotlight
signature
event, yes. That is Tiger's event at Riviera. Did they not want to perform in front of the crowds on number 16?
I don't think they were fearful of that. They just need a little R&R.
By the way, did you see that Liv is having their Las Vegas tournament this week, and they are also having a hole, a par three, similar to the stadium hole at TPC Scottsdale. Did you see that?
Did not. Wonderful.
Flattery is the greatest form, or what is it? Repetition is the greatest form of flattery, something to that effect. And so Liv is
imitation is
thank
the
you.
Form.
Thank you. There you go. 319-366-1600, 331. We're going to take a break, come back, and we will talk to Tony Hager coming up here. Lots to talk about as far as the world of high school wrestling is concerned. Also, big one tonight, high school basketball. Number one, Kennedy. Number two, Iowa City West tonight. Really looking forward to that one. Be down there for CRMLivesports.com coming up tonight. 1600 ESPN $5,000 Man Cave giveaway continues right now. This is a national contest, and yet one local 1600 ESPN listener is guaranteed to win at least $500. Enter with this winning sports word, four. Now, that's four right now at KGYMRadio.com. Why shouldn't you have a $5,000 man cave paid for by 1600 ESPN? Again, get all the details at KGYMRadio.com. We'll take a break. Tony Hager will join us right after this here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine today, and temperatures are going to climb into the low to mid 50s. As we head into tonight, we'll have clouds around and temperatures will drop down into the low to mid 30s. As we get into tomorrow, we'll have some more clouds, but temperatures will still be in the low to mid 50s. Then on Thursday, we'll have more clouds and the chance for some showers. There could even be some rumbles of thunder. Temperatures, though, will climb into the mid to upper 50s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
It's Cupid's time to shine.
Valentine's Day.
Hey, we are Joseph and Clayton Hoyt.
Our Happy Valentine's sale is going on now through February 14th, and we've got some pretty sweet deals.
Yeah, like a free box of chocolates when you spend over $129.
And that's just the beginning.
Get a free box of chocolates and up to a 2.5-carat lab diamond, depending on how much you spend.
Something sweet, something sparkly, it's exactly what your Valentine wants.
Spend over $2,500 and get a 1-carat lab diamond for free.
Spend over $3,500 and get a 1.5-carat lab grown diamond free.
$4,500, a 2-carat lab diamond for free.
And spend over $5,500, get a 2.5-carat lab diamond for free.
Come to the Happy Valentine's Day sale now through the 14th.
Only at Siepke Hoyt Jewelers in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, on the corner of Collins and First Ave.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids, Surgery Center Cedar Rapids, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
Make Wednesday mornings count. Tune in to the 8 o'clock hour for WagerWise, your sports betting playbook. Brought to you by Betfred Sportsbook.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-333-7214 today.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
We are back with you at 3:35 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Iowa State basketball tonight, Cyclones and the Texas Longhorns at 6 o'clock with the pregame with John Walters and Eric Keff from down in Austin, and just past 7 o'clock with the tip-off for that one. That is basketball. We are going to talk some wrestling right now. Tony Hager from IAWrestle.com. Give them a follow on Twitter. They do tremendous work. They were all over the state girls wrestling tournament Saturday as well down at Extreme Arena in Coralville. Tony, kind enough to join us here. And catching your breath right now, right?
yeah, I am. I am a little bit. Today's been we had rankings come out today for all three classes. And I just been about 36 minutes of just kind of trying to relax after getting those out, and now we're talking wrestling again. So here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah, state duels weekend on Saturday was fun. Bunch of fun individual matchups and dual results, but the girls really stole the stage just overall as far as the weekend of coverage, not only just on IA Wrestle but our media outlets across the state. There was a ton of media coverage this year, and that definitely makes me happy to see that news outlets in particular are, doing highlights, talking about girls wrestling, and just talking about wrestling in general. So it was just a good weekend for the sport.
Yeah, and there were several number one seeds that didn't win championships, which I think speaks to the improvement of girls wrestling, would you not say?
Yeah, you're really seeing the youth of our sport coming through. Some of these, the girls that paved the way for these girls that are coming through to say, hey, I should start wrestling in fifth grade, sixth grade, sometimes even, earlier than that. We're going way back to IWCOA state days. So, the girls are just getting a lot more technical before they get to high school. And you're going to continue to see the youth really blossom in the girls wrestling side of things. They just seem to have a little more spunk the younger they are in girls wrestling.
They do. History made. We did have the first four-time champion. Now it goes back to the pre-sanctioned days with Naomi Simon, but she will be the answer to the trivia question.
Yes, Naomi Simon, she just walked through the tournament. She had four falls going into the finals, then a major decision in that final. So that was, she had an emotional walkout of the venue. She had a very emotional post-match interview that really talked a lot about just girls wrestling inclusion and as far as administration. And I'm not sure I'm guessing she's talking about Decorah, but maybe it's, you know, surrounding schools that she's familiar with of administration, schools, teachers, just, I guess, making them feel like they're just as popular as the boys in wrestling and in other sports, maybe too, if, you know, doing pep rallies. You mentioned pep rallies of, you know, we do this stuff for other sports where the teams are recognized and there wasn't a whole lot for girls. And I don't know if that's particular to, you know, that school or not, but that's something that she mentioned. So IPTV was following her all weekend too. So I'm not sure if they've got something planned in regards to girls wrestling, just the growth and her being an advocate for respect in that side of the state or what exactly. So I'm really curious to kind of just see what her message is all about. But that's kind of what I got from her post-match interview.
Tony, the Boys State Duels, some good matches, some not so good matches, kind of what you would expect, but it may or may not be the same. Could be different once we talk about districts and then on to the traditional.
Yeah, but you in Class 3A, we knew Southeast Polk was going to be a great tournament team. They proved that they're a very good dual team. They just didn't really have a whole lot to worry about all weekend. I mean, winning 48-16 against the Bettendorf Bulldogs, that was very impressive. Had some huge wins. Carter Pearson over Drew Ayala and Jake Knight. So now he's the number one ranked wrestler in Class 3A. 2A was pretty fun, though, guys. I mean, Sergeant Bluff Luton knock off West Delaware. We know West Delaware has been, you know, in the hunt for many years. So that was a huge, huge win for them. And then they came in and knocked off Osage to make the finals. And they gave Creston all they could handle as well. So, you know, Sergeant Bluff was definitely the tournament Cinderella. I mean, I don't know if you call them Cinderella, but they definitely weren't like the team that we thought would be in the finals on Saturday night. So, and they were very close to winning it all against Creston. So 2A was really a lot of fun. Don Bosco, you know, I'm not sure if it's really a surprise to see them, you know, going, they won their 14th state dual championship, fourth in a row, I believe, and knocking off Alburnett 45-31. They haven't had a full team really the whole year of, you know, what we're seeing their lineup be. You just can never count out Don Bosco. They always seem to find a way. But, you know, not to discredit what Alburnett has done this season, I still think that they're going to have a heck of a run for a individual state championship. They've got a ton of good individuals there. And that one's going to be a fun one down to the wire. Yeah, Evan Wilton as well.
Yeah, and don't discount them. And there were a lot of good bouts in that Alburnett-Don Bosco matchup from the championship.
Oh, I mean, they started at 215 and Alburnett was able to get, well, Don Bosco started with a fall, right? Then they went back-to-back falls, and then it was kind of just back and forth, right? No one really got on a real tear until they got to 157, and then it was all Don Bosco to close this out. You know, Colin Knack, Andrew Kimball, Caden Knack, and Landon Fernandez all getting falls. Caden didn't get a pin, but, close to a major decision. So they were in the driver's seat after 157.
District's coming up this weekend, man. I don't know how you pick one to go to.
Districts are always tough for us as an outlet that tries to go around to the whole state. And the last year, we actually chose not to go to any of them so we could stay home and really do a better job of just trying to cover the whole state, see the results, and prepare for the individual state tournament with state previews and whatnot. So, I mean, we haven't made the final decision on where we're going to go or anywhere on Saturday, and mainly just focus on our previews and coverage for the individual state tournament, because that's a grind of 4 days of us being at every single session. So I'm sure we'll end up somewhere though this year. We got a lot of hardworking people that will want to be somewhere.
It is a, I know they come out with the districts very early in the process, but I thought, kudos to everybody over at the Iowa High School Athletic Association, because I think they really divided everything up very equally in all three classes. You know, you take a look at here in the Metro, you've got Linmar and Marion. They're headed over to Ames. Jeff Kennedy and Wash and Prairie, along with the Liberty and West, are going to be at Prairie. But Centennial's coming over to Prairie. Newton's coming over to Prairie. Southeast Polk is going to Marshalltown. Xavier's going to Marshalltown. They're moving puzzle pieces all over the place just to try to get, I think, A, the best wrestlers there, and to just equal out, if you will, the 8-3A districts.
Yeah, there's a couple districts in Class 3A that are a little bit more loaded than the others, but they're pretty close, and it's super difficult to do that early in the season. But District 6, that has 27 ranked wrestlers. District 1 has 25. District 3 has 22, and District 8 has 22. And then the other ones are around, you know, anywhere from 16 to 18 ranked wrestlers in it. So there's only four districts that have 20 plus in them in Class 3A. And then Class 2A, the District 5 is definitely the toughest. And in Class 1A, District 1 has got 20 ranked wrestlers. District 10's 21. District 12's got 22 ranked wrestlers in it. So, you know, if you're a wrestling fan and if you want to just base it off of who's got the most ranked wrestlers, you know, that's going to be probably District 6 in Class 3A, District 5 in 2A, and then District 12 in Class 1A.
Yeah, that's District
well ago.
District 6 and 3A, that's where Southeast Polk is over in Marshalltown. Xavier's there as well. They've got a couple of very good individuals that they'll throw out there. You mentioned District 8. Prairie's going to be hosting that coming up on Saturday. Wash, Jeff, and Kennedy are going to be there. Centennial's got some good wrestlers. Iowa City West, we know that their prowess over the years. And you mentioned that Class 1A, District 1, that's where Bosco is there. North Lynn, always a very good wrestling program. Denver, Tripola. There are a lot of good wrestlers that are going to be up at Denver.
Yep, that's probably the one to go to if you are a wrestling fan just looking to watch great wrestling. But in general, yeah, they did a great job this year. Without having sectionals, that job gets a little bit even harder to, one, find the location that can host that many schools, and two, just to, you know, just try to get it spread out so we have our best guys qualifying for the state wrestling tournament.
Tony, we're going to talk more college wrestling with Mark Ironside tomorrow. Is the sky falling on the Iowa wrestling program? Were they sick against Michigan figuratively or literally? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you read the Hawkeye Report message boards, yeah, they're looking for Tom Brand's head to be on the chopping block, you know. And the Iowa team is it's just so up and down as far as a fan base goes of, you know, what you can expect. You had Spencer Lee that you always knew was going to start the duel with some fireworks, and Drake obviously, you know, has that at times, but 125 is so stacked this year that momentum is hard to get, right? And if Real Woods doesn't, if we don't have that Real Woods match, I do think people have a little bit of a different outlook on this team. You know, the Big Ten is just super tough. I definitely don't expect Iowa fans to see us contending on Friday after definitely the Michigan duel. Penn State is, I do see us maybe Iowa getting some wins on Friday, but you know, if they're going to get some W's, it's going to be in a dual format. I don't see it happening at the individual state tournament. I'm very curious of what Ironside thoughts are after watching that Michigan duel. You know, I didn't have my eyes peeled to it since we had the girls going on and state duels going on. So, you know, haven't really had a chance to dive right into that, you know, what really happened. But I guess I don't blame Iowa fans for being concerned when you're expected to win. Those are the expectations at the University of Iowa, and you're seeing Iowa State have some success. You know, they're cracking on the, you know, the top five of the tournament team rankings and different various outlets. So, yeah, well, it's probably okay to question, you know, the Iowa team. And at the end of the day, if they can get a trophy down in Kansas City, then who really cares about the regular season? That's also a hot topic right now too, where people are trying to make duels mean more. You know, do we not see some of these big matchups in duels because people are worried about them losing the matches? Because at the end of the day, the individual NCAA championship is more important to individuals and to the university than just a duel on a, you know, on a Friday night. So sports kind of in a weird spot right now, and really in the high school side of things too, of where people are more looking towards the future seeds than they're looking towards the match right in front of them. And that's unfortunate, but that's just where we're at of what's the most important part is to be ready to go in March for the collegiate level.
You said it. I think you hit the nail on the head right there. Keep in mind, 24 in each of the weight classes, again, at the state wrestling tournament. So top two in 1A and 2A from each weight will move on, and top three out of the eight districts in class 3A will move on. So the third place wrestler gets to go in class 3A. So still a good thing, right? 24 is better than 16, right?
I like 24. I don't like eight place winners, but that's just my personal opinion. I'm old school and feel like we should be at six, but I understand the premise of getting eight. So it's good to have more qualifiers, have more place winners, but the old dog in me, and I'm not even that old. This time I'm not even 40 yet, but I still like that traditional six that I grew up with, but it is what it is.
You're young. You're young, Tony.
Hey, I don't know if how much time I got left here, but I did want to give just a shout out to you guys for talking wrestling with us throughout the season. And hopefully we'll get a couple more weeks with us recapping high school and then collegiate. But, if you're a supporter of iWrestle, supporter of wrestling, this next Saturday before finals, we're having our 10-year anniversary party at Single Speed, who does such great things for the sport as well. We got our own iWrestle beer can that is going to be going out, a commemorative can for the weekend. So come on out and celebrate wrestling and just iWrestle. I really would appreciate it.
Awesome. That'll be cool. So can we get a hold of you next Tuesday before the eight-ring circus starts?
I will be available. Hopefully we'll have all our previews done before our discussion and give you guys a better little outlook of, you know, what matches to watch on Wednesday morning.
Awesome. That'll be great. Enjoy it, Tony, and thanks for the info. I always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Tony Hager from IAWrestle.com. New wrestling rankings are out, so go check that out at their website. 3:52, we'll take a break, come back, have more for you after this here on The Gym Class on 1600 ESPN.
They say love is a universal language. Well, that's definitely true if you're talking about bacon. I mean, who doesn't love bacon? Forget the chocolates. Get the gift of bacon. It's everyone's love language. And you're going to love it that our bacon's on sale right now. With quick hot savings, we're taking bacon down to $2.49 a 12-ounce pack. Limit two. Savings on bacon? Whoa, that's two love languages at once. We're multilingual like that. Quick Star. We're saving your bacon.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text PREP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text PREP to 42424. That's PREP to 42424.
Back with you at 3:54. We will talk with the Hall of Famer Mark Ironside coming up tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar, Mark Dukes, that Mark will not hold back his opinions on how everything went last week in Ann Arbor.
Never has, never will.
You can bank on that. So that'll be coming up tomorrow. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. Audio, yes. With brand new offensive coordinator of the Iowa Hawkeyes. And looking forward to that and more on that news conference from earlier on today. Baseball, you mentioned Clayton Kershaw is going to be back for his 17th year with the LA Dodgers. We'll see if he can make it through the season and inevitably the postseason without any injury. Interesting, another podcast shocker, Mark. Las Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman on the Front Office Sports Today podcast that came out earlier on today. She said that the A's should stay in Oakland because she's not happy with where they want to build their stadium in Las Vegas, which is on the Strip, which, as everybody knows, that has been out to Las Vegas, can create a few traffic problems. Allegiant Stadium, same situation right there. She wants them to build in a different spot in Las Vegas. She has since turned around 180 and saying that she believes that they would be fantastic to a spectacular market for the Oakland A's. Las Vegas would, but she's been on both sides of the fence earlier today.
Don't know who that is, and the A's are really way off my radar.
Does anyone want the Oakland A's at this point? It wasn't that long ago when the Oakland A's were perennial playoff participants. PPP, perennial playoff participants. Didn't make it very far, but at least they were in the hunt of things as far as the American League is concerned. But seems like now... they had a beautiful stadium rendering along the waterfront in Oakland that has since gone by the wayside, apparently. Then they were looking at Las Vegas. Sacramento may be a home for the Oakland A's temporarily. We'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. Spencer on Sports, as I mentioned, coming your way next. We've got Iowa State basketball coming up tonight, Cyclones and the Texas Longhorns at 6 o'clock. Do you have an inkling? You were right on with the Kansas State game last night, Mark.
I don't on this Iowa State Texas game. As you mentioned, the line is, you know, given the home court advantage, a pretty even game. So that's what I expect it to be.
Will everybody stay in the coach's box tonight? That is the question. We'll talk about that coming up tomorrow. Mark Ironside will join us as well. Have a great night, everybody. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Progressive asks, what do a diehard fan watching the game at home?
With 4 seconds left.
A poorly placed good luck candle.
Don't let me down, candle.